for those who want to dig deep and grow strong. This is the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and teacher, Jeff Kinley. It's time to power up your faith and take your walk to the next level. Now, here's Jeff with today's podcast.
Okay, so if you haven't hopped over and downloaded the Vintage Truth app, you should do that because a lot of cool things on it. And also, just in case you're not receiving my weekly newsletter, I call it a newsletter, but it's just really kind of an equipment provision, you know? We are putting together this thing each week that is providing you with so much great content and freebies and links and videos and, you know, book connections and all this other stuff. So really need to make sure that you're connected that way on the newsletter. So, and tell your friends about it as well. Hey, also, just real quickly, I'm doing these one-day pop-up conferences with my good buddy Todd Hampson with the Prophecy Pros from our Prophecy Pros podcast. And this is just kind of getting out of hand. It's kind of neat, but I mean, we are booked almost solid and throughout the year, and we only have a few dates left in 2023, just because I have a separate travel schedule where I speak and Todd does as well. But we're going to be in Ohio and Maryland, in Texas, in Washington State, in Oregon. We're going to be speaking together in Florida here soon, an unrelated prophecy thing. And Little Rock, we're doing one here in Little Rock. So anyway, a lot of cool things happening. So check that out if you get a chance, the Prophecy Pros podcast and the pop-up conferences. And if you'd like to have information on how you can host one yourself, then feel free to reach out. Go to jeffkinley.com, click on that contact tab or connect tab, I forget what it's called, and I'll respond, get you the information. Okay, so we're in Galatians, and we've been talking about the what it means to walk in the Spirit, and Paul has been contrasting that with the desires of our flesh. Now, every Christian experiences this conflict between the desires of the new self and the Holy Spirit and of the old self called the flesh. The flesh represents the downward pull. As I told you before, I wrote a whole book about this called The Christian Zombie Killer's Handbook. And I have 13 chapters on what is the sin nature, how does it work, and how do we overcome it so that we can have a consistent win in our walk with Christ. But part of this desire of the flesh is that it doesn't want to be subdued by God. The old self that you and I have will never surrender. Did you get that? It can't surrender. It only knows dominance. It only knows being the occupier of the throne of our hearts. That's why Scripture says it has to die. And from God's perspective, it is dead for those of us who are in Christ, in the sense that it no longer has any authority or control over us, no legal right, okay? That's why Paul had told us back in chapter 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. And, you know, part of the tension of our Christian life is knowing that our old flesh is dead, but death doesn't mean non-existence. And this is where a lot of people get confused. You think, well, gosh, my old flesh is dead. Why is it still, you know, telling me to do stuff? Well, death in Scripture means separation. And the separation that the Bible's talking about here is the separation of the old flesh's authority over us. It no longer has power or rule or authority over us. I used to relate it like this to young people. I used to say, hey, look, you know, let's say you graduate or you pass the 11th grade, you go to 12th grade, okay? You're walking down the hall during the spring semester, your 12th grade year, and you see your old English teacher from the 10th grade. And he or she says, hey, listen, I need you to write an essay for me. It's got to be 500 words on it on my desk in the morning. Then what's the appropriate response? Well, to laugh, of course, because that 10th grade English teacher has no authority over you anymore. You're not in her class or in his class. in the same sense, the old flesh has no legal binding authority over us. We do not have to say yes to it. And we naturally have these things every day. They're not, sometimes they're evil thoughts. Sometimes they're just fleshly, lustful thoughts. Other times it's just thoughts that didn't come from God, and they're, or desires rather, that are just selfish desires, desires to fulfill self and not to, to die to self or to help others. So we finished with verse 18 last time, and he was trying to tell us that when we're led by the Spirit, we're not under the law. In other words, don't try to make, now this is a massively, critically intelligent thing that you're just going to get ready to learn. And this will save you from years of frustration and struggle in your Christian life. So listen very carefully to what I'm about to tell you. You cannot make a rule that will control your flesh. There is no rule that you can make, no standard that you can make that will control or change your old sin nature. Do you get that? No. The reason for that is because the sin nature is on the inside. Jesus said in Mark 7, around verse 24, he said, all the sin that we have in our life comes from within, not from outside, not from without. It's not from the world. It's not from the devil. It's from the flesh. That's where it originates. Now watch. The world partners with those desires in our flesh. The devil and his demons partner with those desires, and they tempt, and they suggest, and they cajole, and they try to sell, but they can't make you do anything. So, listen again. No rule that you and I can make can ever control or change our old sin nature. Now, a rule can change outward behavior. If your goal in life is to simply change your outward behavior, then the sad news about your life is that you're simply a religious person. Maybe a Christianized religious person, but not one that's living what Scripture says, not what the living the passage we're talking about walking in the Spirit. A rule only changes outward behavior. So there are times, like as a parent, you know, when I was a parent, I would say to my sons, hey, stop talking in church. You know, in the expediency of that moment, you know, I'm really not thinking about his heart. I'm not thinking about, well, in his heart, does he really not want to speak out anymore and, you know, draw or what? No, I just want him to stop talking, stop squirming. Now, if your goal in life is to just stop squirming and to stop doing bad things, and you put rules in your life, and, you know, people do all sorts of things that are not necessarily bad. For example, there are internet blocks you can put on your computer that monitor your behavior on the computer. We used to have this thing, we called it the Cussinator. It was a DVD player, but it like muted out all the bad words. And I think it would even insert other words in there so that when we were watching a show, our kids wouldn't be exposed to those bad words. But all of that stuff is just outward. Now, some of that is okay as a prompt or as a help or as a reminder, but just keep in mind, it cannot, under any circumstances, change a person's heart. And that's exactly, we've seen this verse before over in Colossians chapter 2. And I don't want to belabor this point because I want to get on with what the passage says, but Colossians 2, verses 20 through 23, I'm going to read verses 22 and 23. Says, all these things are destined to perish with the using in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men. They're commands like, don't handle that. Don't touch that. Don't taste that. Earlier, he had said in verse 16, let no one act your judge in regard to food or drink, or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath or a day. These things which are mere shadows of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. And, he, you know, that's why we as Christians, we don't practice Jewish feasts and holidays, not as New Testament believers, New Covenant believers. Those things were shadows. Now, we should study them and learn from them, but we shouldn't. I don't believe we should practice them because we're in a new covenant. God doesn't even recognize those things anymore. So he's saying, Paul's saying in later in that chapter, he's saying, these are matters, verse 23, which have to be sure the appearance of wisdom, they sound so spiritual, in self-made religion and self-abasement. Self-abasement means to control yourself, your behavior, and in severe treatment of the body, denying your body of certain things, he says, but they are of no value against fleshly indulgence. And here's what that means, and we're going to move on. No rule that you or I can make about our life has the power to sanctify you or to make you more like Jesus. The only thing it can do is curb your behavior. And in some cases, that's fine, but it has nothing to do with your heart, nothing, except it could prompt you, may be able to prompt you to deal with your heart, but it cannot control or change your heart. It's like in extreme case, you could say, well, I have a problem with cursing. So I have this piece of duct tape I just put over my mouth. Are you going to be cursing anymore with your mouth? No, not as long as that duct tape is there. Are you cursing in your head and your heart? Probably. You just can't get it out. So it's not going to change your heart. But it can remind you that your heart needs to be changed. But it has no value against the actual heart. Okay, so we're back to Galatians 5. And that's what he's saying about you're not under the law, verse 18. Now, verse 19. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident. Paul's like, okay, everybody sees these. And there are basically four categories. There's sexual deeds, spiritual deeds, social deeds, and deeds that fall under the category of alcoholism or drunkenness. He says, now the deeds of the flesh are evidence, which are immorality. That's the word pornea. We get our word pornography from. Impurity, sensuality, flirtiness, you know, just being sexual. Then he says, he goes to the second category, idolatry, which is putting another god before our God. Sorcery, delving into spirits and demonology and seances and palm readers and any sort of metaphysical or spiritual practices that are outside of the Word of God. That's sorcery. And there's so many ways I could go there, but I'm going to keep moving. Then he goes into social fleshly sins, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, and envying. And, you know, this is interpersonal relationships. And this is where, you know, sometimes as, you know, men are a lot of times are prone to outbursts of anger, you know, that type of thing. Women may or may not be more envious or jealous of certain situations. We raised three boys, so we had almost zero drama in our house for 18 years for all of our kids. Now, not to say we didn't have to discipline them and they didn't get out of line and we, you know, they did some dumb things, but, and we weren't perfect parents, but here's the thing is that, you know, drama, as people talk about, typically happens within relationships. Somebody at school, somebody on the cheerleading squad, somebody, you know, in the classroom, a boss, whatever. And there's drama. And that drama, a lot of times, comes from jealousy, dissensions, factions, envying, that type of thing. These are all things that just come from the flesh. And it'd be great for Christian men and women, Christian boys and girls, to recognize that the problems that are out there socially, they all begin with the flesh. Somebody's obeying the flesh in this situation. So there's social sins. And then he concludes with drunkenness and carousing, which some have interpreted as leading to orgies. And obviously when someone is under the influence of alcohol or of any type of narcotic or drug, their defenses are down, and that sometimes leads to, goes back up to the sensuality thing, but it leads to other really kind of drunken parties where people are loose and you know, doing whatever they want to. And so that's a little bit of the deeds of the flesh. And he says, and things like these, he just says, okay, there's a bunch of them, but things like these, you understand, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. He's saying this is not to be a part of the lifestyle of the one who is led by the Spirit. This is the lifestyle of someone who is led by the flesh. And when that dominates a person's life, then that's a major red flag. Now, he's going to contrast that here with something else. He says, I'm going to contrast there. He says, but the fruit, singular, of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. In other words, there's no law you can come up with that can cause that to happen in your life, those things to happen in your life. And you'll notice the word fruit there is in the singular. Some said, well, that's because these characteristics are kind of like clusters of grapes, you know, all they kind of come together, you know. But the idea is that when someone looks at the big picture of your life and they see love, they see joy, you know, we should be modeling joy for the world. Peace, with all the things that are going on in this world right now, we have the most inner tranquility because we are at peace with God and we know where God's taking us. Patience, the ability to endure people and circumstances. That's what patience is. Kindness, be nice. And Christians are those who, on the whole, are nice. They're nice people. They're very kind people. They do kind deeds to others. Goodness, speaking of just a sense of moral goodness about our lives, the overall characteristic of our life. Faithfulness. Faithfulness means that when you say something, that your word is your bond. If I tell you I'm going to show up on such a time, I'm going to be there. If I say I'm going to do something, a favor for you, that I'm going to do it. Faithfulness means, faithfulness is not a one-time thing. Faithfulness is only measured over time. And the faithfulness here he's talking about is the kind of faithfulness that comes out of the character of who you are. And we all know people who have said they would do things for us, but they ended up, you know, wigging out on us. Gentleness, even the hard truths that we have to share with the world today, we do it with a spirit of gentleness. Self-control, obviously contrasting that with self-worship or being controlled by self, is that it's the ability to restrain yourself at times. You don't post that. You don't make that comment on that post. Or maybe you don't post something because of self-control. Maybe you have the temptation to say something. I just want to say something. And you say, you know what? They're not ready for this. They're not ready for what I will share with them. It will only create conflict. And this is not something that they can handle right now. Self-control. Self-control from the deeds of the flesh. And where does that control come from? Well, it comes from Christ. From allowing Christ to be in charge of our lives. And he says, against such things that there is no law. So he's telling us that the contrast here is the deeds of the flesh that can't be controlled by the outward rule that we make, and then the inward motivation of the Spirit that produces, it's the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit which comes from the Spirit. So when you and I are Spirit-led, if we are Spirit-controlled, we don't have to do a study on joy and peace and patience to try to get those things. What you need to do is to allow yourself to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. Be filled with the Spirit means to be controlled by the Spirit, be influenced by the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. And when that happens, He will produce love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. all those things will come because we are filled and controlled and motivated and inspired and led by God's Holy Spirit. And that's some pretty good news. I need those things in my life more, don't you? Just simply means I need to walk with the Spirit more faithfully, more closely every day. We'll pick up with the next verse on the next Vintage Truth Podcast. God bless you. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.